on the subject, what's in a name? What's in a name? What kind of name do you have? My dad gave me my name. I bear the name of Roloff because my daddy was a Roloff. My granddaddy came from Germany, came to Wisconsin and married a Miss Friedel. They moved to Texas. They bought land for $7 an acre. Fine black land that we was brought up on for $14 an acre. The old Williams Ranch, a portion of it. That is back when you could take an old finger-tailed mule and a walking cultivator and start out and make your own way. And then after a while, get you some mules and cows and pasture land, but not anymore. The little man has been crowded out. The little businessman has been choked to death. And the big businessman now is trying to figure out how he can survive. Inflation, like a cancer and a canker, has eaten in on America. We've actually bought more than we could pay for. We've spent more than we could ever pay back. We're living in a land of extravagance and unsafe wealth. Now then, before I get into the message, I'm still interested in this article. This is quite a spread concerning Madeline Murray O'Hare. Said she just won't go away. She'll go one of these days. Her days are numbered. And the question, how many atheists do we have in America? And they said concentrating on colleges. That's where they come from. Our so-called educational savior has turned out to be the Antichrist. Against God, the college campus presents no Christ. And said 20 to 25% of college students are atheists. I think that's about right for the country as a whole. Now, the sad thing is, it's not the announced or professing atheists, it's the people that live like they don't believe in God. That's the thing that hurts the cause of Christ. But I show you some of the wild statements that are being made. In the first place, she asked God to damn the church in this country. She said, quote, religion is the wildest form of insanity. I would turn every church into a home for the aged or an outpatient clinic. For instance, Christianity, which is anti-science, anti-life, anti-sex, anti-woman, anti-freedom, anti-peace, is detrimental to the United States. You see, in the same statement, she puts religion in the same category of Christianity and Christianity. There's a heap of difference. Amen. There's a heap of difference. She says that Christianity is anti-life. Well, it's the only life there is. Amen. She's dead and don't know it. Christ said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Notice what she said. There are five great ideas that are so inimical to the human condition that they should be outlawed. Outlawed. I mean slavery, racism, sexism, physical violence, and religion. Boy, she puts them all in there together. But here's what we're facing, folks. We might as well just admit it. She has seen more religion than she has Christianity. Amen. You know, I invited her to come down here one time, and she agreed to come. I'm thinking about renewing my invitation. I'd like to give her a demonstration of Christianity. Amen. Now, I'm going to have it understood that she can't cuss while she's here or smoke. But I'd like for you to come, and I'd like for you all just to give your testimony. I'd like for you just to tell what you... I'd like for you to go down to the lighthouse, take her fishing maybe. But we'd bring her back. And then, like I said before, when we get through about 24 hours, or all day and into the night, and be sure we're having a Thursday night or Saturday night service, and let her sit here on the second row, and see her squirm and turn or whatever she wants to do. And then, when I fly her back to Austin, offer my life for her system of atheism for the next 24 hours. I'd say, now, I think it's only fair that you demonstrate what you're doing. Show me alcoholics that you've sobered. Show me dope heads you've delivered. Show me prostitutes that are as pure as an angel because of your atheism. Show me homes that were broken and busted like the one here this morning that Jesus brought back together. I said, demonstrate or shut up. Now, that could be an embarrassing moment for her. Folks, I said this morning, we must never be ashamed of our brand. And the brand is Christian. I'm not talking about denominational brands. I'm talking about the brand of Christ. Now then, the message I want to bring tonight is on the name that's above every name. You have your Bible, and we're ready now to go into the message. I never knew that I'd live to see such wickedness advertised. I never knew that papers would ever print such profanity as they're printing today. Of course, I told you this. Hitler and Anita Bryant are the most damaging people in America. So says the poll that was recorded by the Ladies' Home Journal. I think maybe we ought to change the word ladies from here on. Oh, I never knew that a home magazine would ever take such a stand against a lady like Anita Bryant that stands for godly living, prayer in the home, and against abnormal, sinful living. All right, in your Bible, chapter 3 of the book of Acts. Now give me your time tonight and your attention. The message is just fixing to begin. Acts chapter 3, couple of preachers went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Sounds like it could have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. I hadn't thought about why it was called Beautiful, but, dear friend, the most beautiful people on earth go to the place of prayer. The people, listen, you show me a man that has a genuine prayer life, I'll show you a man that's handsome before God. I'll show you a lady that's beautiful before the Lord. Yes, so he's laying at the gate, crippled all of his life from birth. And he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple. He asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Always think of that bit of history that I learned when I was going through Baylor in the seminary, when a dedicated consecrated, godly man was listening to the Pope as he spoke one day. He said, "We cannot any longer say, silver and gold have I none." And this dedicated Christian spoke up and said, "Neither can we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Silver and gold is a sorry substitute for the power of God. The difference between religion and Christianity is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only difference. Now then, we see them, and they're saying, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, that's where your trouble begins, right there. That's the thing that separates the boys from the men. This is what separates religion from Christianity, is a miracle. A miracle. A man said to me today, he came to the close of the service, he's leaving, he's moving, he and his family. He said, "Brother Wolf, it's just sad. And I just found out about you 4 weeks ago, and I've missed the service, and now I'm moving away." He said, "I'm going to miss it, and I'm going to support the work, and I'm going to be writing to you. And when I come back to Corpus..." Isn't it sad that so many people in Corpus Christi have not found out about what's taking place? Oh, so simple it is, and so discouraged. Some have been and scared away because of some of the reports. But this man said, "I wish I'd have known all through the years that you've been here." Now then, we got some folks that's going to face some trouble now. You never, never get into trouble until you see a miracle. And then the world and religion gets after you. That's what our problem is. You'd say, "Are you a miracle worker, Brother Wolof?" No, sir. But I tell you what, I'm a product of a miracle. Because I'm saved. And if you'd say, "Do you believe in miracles today?" I really do. I listened to that message an hour long today, and when I stood here 2 weeks ago on that Sunday morning, I tell you what, I didn't know that we'd see such a miracle as we saw it. I believed it, but I didn't know it. I couldn't see it with my eyes. I had no assurance of anything or anybody doing. And yet, 2 weeks later, it's a difference. I said, "I'll announce to you on the 16th, that's today. And I said, "I have nothing to announce except if faith is what I believe it is, we'll have victory 2 weeks from today." So that's it. Brother, God never did put his big train on my little track. I have no cross ties that'll hold it up. But his train runs on time and in due time. Now then, I hear somebody preaching, God of Abraham, notice, verse 13. He said in verse 12, "Why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power, holiness, we'd made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers." Now he's going to tie it all together now, isn't he? "Hath glorified his son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you desired, you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And now, brethren, I wot that you through ignorance you did it. You were ignorant, as did also your rulers. So much can be charged to ignorance. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Verse chapter 4 now. Notice the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them, put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Brother, that's some report, isn't it? Now remember, the first one was 3,000. The second one was 5,000 men. What about all the women and children? 5,000 men. Now the next report you'll read in the book of Acts, multitudes believed and were saved. Yes? Don't talk to me about a miracle apart from the miracle of getting people saved. That's the greatest miracle we could ever have in all the world. And notice what he said. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem, and when they'd set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter fell with the Holy Ghost. He didn't wave his college diploma. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you. Hold, this is the stone. And that's another word, isn't it? I was somewhere this week, and they said the rolling stones were coming. And the people had gathered in such multitudes, there was no way for them all to get in, the thousands and thousands and thousands. And they call them the rolling stones. For as I'm concerned, they're the piddling pebbles. Can you imagine an insane America and an insane generation of children flocking to hear such wicked people as they are? Hate the name of Christ. Despise pure living. And yet thousands and thousands and thousands of dope addicts and cigarette smokers and liquor drinkers, and there they were gathered. It opened sin. Oh, listen. Judgment will have to come to a nation like that. This is the stone, that's Jesus, which was set in all of you builders, which has become the head. Amen. The head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name unto heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. Back in those days, it was very obvious when a man had been with Jesus. It ought to be that way now. You ought to be able to tell when a man's been walking with Jesus by the way he looks, by the way he smells, by the way he talks, by the way he smiles, by the way he sings. There ought to be a difference, and there will be, and is, if he'd been with Jesus. Beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it, but when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Now remember, I'm preaching on the name tonight. Count the numbers. I'm calling the name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard.